This is part two of the interview with the McDaniel-Callahan team.
You've all mentioned prospecting multiple times. Do you try to set aside a certain amount of time to prospect? If so, how much time and who does what?
Yes. We have team meetings every Monday, or at least almost every Monday, when all of our schedules will allow it. I try to set out and ask everyone on the team, how much can you give me this week? What can you do? I say, you know, guys, I will dedicate at least an hour to 2 hours a day. So I'll do between 5 and 10 hours a week in prospecting. Nick, our current door knocker, he'll be out there doing about 3 to 4 hours a day on the streets. Chris, what is generally some of the stuff that you can do? And then Terry, what are some of the general time frames that you can do that we can circle back with Caitlin and Eileen and everyone else?
I have a little thing next to my desk right above my phone that has Chris Callahan perfect week. Do I ever hit the perfect week? No, but if you don't have something that actually plans out and ends up giving you guidelines like that, I think you're never going to get to your goal. So you got to have them in front of you. You got to have them written. So what I do is I literally have on there everything from exercise in the morning to time with the family. I have in there scheduled dinner time with the family. We always sit 6 o'clock? No. But there's literally day by day perfect week in their plan. And within that is prospecting. I have in there broken out to buyer calls, and then I have regular just straight up prospecting. And then I also have in there things that are set aside for, you know, our weekly Thursday broker's tour. You got to go look at the houses. If you can't talk about the houses that are on the market, as Greg said earlier, you know, you're getting paid off your knowledge. Well, if you don't have much knowledge in the marketplace, you shouldn't be worth a whole lot. So get out there, look at the homes, because you might be the next listing agent on it. You might be having the next phone call talking about that house. If you didn't see it on broker's tour, you're not going to sound so sharp. So there's certain things within the marketplace that you really, really, really need to end up going out there and doing. And you know what? If you're going to be a realtor selling residential real estate sales and you plan on not working on Sundays, you might want to rethink the career. Sunday is, unfortunately, a work day. And we're all, churchgoers here. And so that was a big thing with me going from a Monday through Friday business into a business that I knew I was going to be working on Sundays. And I just had to determine that is, you know, from about 12 o'clock, 12:30 until probably about 5 o'clock, unfortunately, Sunday is a work day for me. You pick up a great deal of buyer leads for that. And not only that, is from the listing side, is, you know, giving the leads to our buyer specialists. If you're going to have a buyer specialist on your team, you better have a source of lead generation for them built in. Otherwise, they're not going to hang around for very long. You have to teach them how to work that, you know, source. But at the same time, you need to have that ability to entice them with the listings on the team and the signs all over town and all the other stuff that you're doing to get leads coming and filtering into them. So, in terms of prospecting, definitely scheduled in my head. You know, you're going to have more people or more contacts made. Unfortunately, we don't want to bug people during the dinner hour, but I like to end up doing a Monday call evening, and from about 3-4 o'clock on until about 6 o'clock. I don't like to call after 6 o'clock. That's just a personal thing, because I know when I'm finally home, I don't want to get those calls. So I usually kind of cut it off about 6 o'clock. But you will get a tremendous amount of people from 4 to 6 o'clock if you call during that time.
Chris, you mentioned your perfect week and your schedule. You work Sundays. Do you work 7 days a week, or do you take a different day off?
As a friend of mine from the South said, I used to could. Now I turn around and as much as we can end up taking Saturdays off, but you find yourself showing property for a couple hours here and there. It's, you know, rarely do you end up working an entire full Saturday, but, for the most part, you'll end up showing a house or two. But back in the heyday when, you know, we were making hay while the sun was shining, we were full 7 days a week. There was times where we would turn to each other and go, I think I'm on day 28, no stop. You know, like you just, every day we just keep going and going and going and going. So once again, the perfect week, you got to have to plan it. It became a thing of mine for bike riding on Wednesday mornings, and I was promised myself January of 2007 I was going to do this. Ride's been going in our area since 1984, and I said, I'm going to start doing this. They called it the bakery ride. I'm going to do it. and I'm not going to feel guilty about it because I work on Sunday. And you know what? I felt guilty about it. And I felt guilty about it for probably over a year until I finally probably picked up a lead, and all of a sudden I was like, hey, this actually works. You can actually do this something fun and turn around and still be prospecting. So then I called it jokingly with the team. I said, I'm going to go do my mobile prospecting. And so that literally became, well, Chris is going to go for a bike ride. He's going to go mobile prospecting. But I very rarely go on solo rides. If I'm riding outdoors, I always do. There's so many team rides around this area or scheduled group rides that's what I'm going to go do. Wednesday morning, Saturday morning, there's one called the House of Pain on Saturday morning. Well, you oftentimes get an opportunity to chat with different people, and the fluctuation of a Peloton and a biking thing, you're not next to the same person for an hour. You're next to the person for 3 to 5 minutes, and then it'll fluctuate around. It'll move around. So it's fantastic. It's a really fun way to end up prospecting. Jim, Greg and I were gym goers for years and years and years. We picked up a lot of leads from going to the gym. Don't ever be a secret agent. Go to the gym, do your workout, but let everybody know what you do as a business, you know. And it's a simple question. You know, hey, what do you do for a living? Ask them. You know what? The next thing that's going to come out of their mouth, what do you do? It's just a natural thing. You ask somebody in a store, can I help you find anything? They're going to say no, and then they're going to ask you, have you seen the cheese? Where's the cheese? Because there is something that they're looking for, but the natural response built into them is, oh, no, I'm just looking. So ask people what they do for a living. Guess what? They'll ask you what you do for a living.
Terry, did you have any comments on prospecting?
On a day-to-day basis, I think it's mostly looking at where the team is going to go. I try to take Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays lunches where we'll gather 2 to 3 people at a time and create an event so that every time you go to lunch, you have 3 or 4 people that you're talking to. It's not about real estate. It's all about the community or some of the kind of functionality that would enhance their business. We've always had the philosophy, if you pay it forward, they're going to pay it back to you. I have a philosophy that when we go out is that, teach me, this is the script on this one, teach me how I can help expand your business. And that script has been very powerful for all of us because they'll say, well, gee, how can we help expand your business? Because the law of reciprocity comes into effect. And you really want to help these people because they are good business people in your community. It's tough times right now. What a great opportunity for them to see that you'll help them find a job or find an opportunity to connect people. Because you're really a good broker is a connector, someone that can see a need and a want and put it into a marketplace is not just specific to real estate, but also to his community and to his other businesses that he's involved in, his church. How to help people see a need, see a demand that might be needed to be met, and connecting the parties together. That is probably what I do most of my time today. Now, when we do list a property, it's fun to go back out and do the very basics, which is just basically doing 4 houses down, 8 houses back, and 4 houses back again, and just seeing people that you haven't seen in a long time. But this market is calling people to go back to the basics. The more you meet, the more the opportunities that you have in terms of generating more business for your company, for your team. Just can't overemphasize it enough.
Do you all have a weekly goal for how many people you want to talk to or how many leads you want to generate?
This is Greg. Generally, my goal is I would like to find one solid buyer or seller a week. When we do our math, we break it all down and divide it all out and everything else. That's generally where it should come up. On average, using the Real Agile list, and I keep mentioning this company, Real Agile, because it is one of our main prospecting tools, and because we work it so heavily, it's paying off for us. But using that on the phone when I'm doing my 1 to 2 hours, hopefully 2 hours prospecting a day, it never seems to fail. Sometime in the second hour, I will start getting 1 to 2 solid leads a day or every time I pick up the phone. And that is kind of our goal, and then it's our job then put them in the 8x8, 33 touch, and go out and talk to them, bring articles of value, show our success, all yada, yada, to then nurture them and turn them into either a buyer or seller now or in the future. So that's an answer I try to go for every week. Chris, what about you?
trying to get 2 hours per day. Some days I'll turn around and get really into it, and I'll end up doing 4 hours. But within, I got a couple of things in my head as I'm going and doing my lead follow-up, is a lot of the people have been in our system for a long, long time. You know, we've had people that have been in there since, 2000. One, I want to determine kind of where are they at right now. We have people that you look in our notes from past phone conversations with them and find out that it says that they were going to sell in 6 to 9 months, and you look at the year that they were put in the system, and it was 2002, and they're still there. So kind of continually cleaning up your database, looking up, do we have their email address so we can end up email dripping them? So not just trying to have a nice conversation, but also using the scripts that we have to end up getting better information within our system for follow-up to that particular person. So I can, as we're looking at the database in agent office, I'm continually evaluating what information can I get out of them to put in here. And then keeping very, very good notes so that you talk to them 3 months later or 6 months later. Some people you don't talk to, but once or twice a year, is you really want to keep good notes to jog your memory of what was the last conversation. Well, Johnny was down in his sophomore year of college down at Santa Barbara University, blah, 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 blah. You keep good notes, because that's going to really end up shortening that conversation the next go around, because sometimes they won't remember you. But if you clue in, hey, the last time that we spoke, we were talking about Johnny's down at Santa Barbara University. Well, they go, well, man, if I told him that last time, I must have liked this guy. And they'll open up very, very quickly to you, whereas if you don't remember anything like that, the conversation is going to be very, very short. So keep good notes. Definitely keep your database as high as you can. And the script to turn around and end up getting email addresses is what you want to have is no pause. So the conversation's moving on. You're talking about something, and as soon as they're talking and they're freely flowing in the conversation, what's the best email address for you? And just like it was off the cuff, hey, what's the best email address for you in case I want to send you something real quick? And most of the time, they'll end up telling you. But if you turn around and you're sounding like you're going step by step, and next thing you know, you're, number 3 on my list. Hey, what is your email address? Well, you're not going to get it. So freely speak, but have those questions in your head that you want to get that email address so you can end up using the other systems to end up drip feeding them too.
You've mentioned the 8x8 program. What type of follow-up are you doing with these people? Let's get into some of those details.
The 8x8 program specifically is a program that is housed through a company that we use quite a bit. It's called MyRealEstateTools.com. And there are thousands of cards that you can choose from. You can completely customize them. But they're put into a series of 8 weeks. The new prospect will get a new card every week for 8 weeks for under $6 per person. So it's just a few cents per card that goes out. They're 5.5 by 8.5 cards, high gloss, 4 color, dual sides, the whole 9. Now, that is something that you can do custom messages, you can do stock messages, you can take the front of one card and put it on the back of another card. You can do really whatever you would like, whatever other kind of campaign that you would like as well. We were introduced to them when I was coaching a broker out of New York City in Manhattan. He and I were going back and forth on ideas, and he mentioned this to me. And I got so excited because I've been looking for something like this for years. Finally, it was made available to us, and we instantly put it into action. And then as soon as they get done with the first 8 weeks, you roll them into the 33 touch. And the 33 touch is a combination of 33 additional touches over the next 12 months. And they are going to range from phone calls, emails, letters, cards, promotional items, that you're going to reach out and talk to these people and try to stay, front of mind. And again, it's through myrealestatetools.com. And you can customize it any way that you'd like. And it is so mind-numbingly simple. All you have to do is pick your card, pick your sphere, who do you want to put in there, hit go, make sure your credit card doesn't bounce, and you're good to go. These things will go out like clockwork, and you'll stay right in front of the prospect.
So you've outsourced your follow-up as far as the structure and the postcards.
We have. We're also utilizing an email follow-up drip program as well, that we're going to be able to drip out these very similar cards to these folks, so we touch them in a new manner as well. So yes, we have outsourced it. We have found that we all know what we don't know, and we all know what our strengths are. So we all know who should be doing what, and we've decided that our time is best spent out looking for or following up with new clientele. So to do the dailies and make sure that these cards are something that go out consistently, we found that it's better just to have someone else deal with it and make sure that they go out because they're guaranteed.
In the 33 touches, you mentioned phone calls. I assume the emails, the postcards, those are all being sent out by myrealestatetools.com. But what about the phone calls? Is that happening by that outsource company, or are you all doing that?
They have a CRM embedded into their system, and you put them into your calendar so that you can either set it up so that you get email or you get text message reminders of, hey, you got to call John Smith today, you know, yada, yada. And also, here's a script. Here's your numbers. Now make your phone calls. And you need to do that. It can't be 100% automated because you are still ultimately the agent. They still need to trust you and like you. So you got to get on the phone and you got to talk to these folks and build that rapport. If you want to do some outsourcing for phone calls, there's another company called myoutdesk.com. For $6.60 per hour per caller, you can have them make outbound calls for you, along with a whole other cadre of resources and services.
Have you used that company?
We are in the midst of interviewing them and building it into our budget for the upcoming year. We have not used them to date. They do come highly recommended by almost every Keller Williams agent ever used them. Gary Keller endorses them, and a few other folks do as well. So this isn't someone we found in the Yellow Pages. The one of the things that we haven't talked about, though, when it comes down to prospecting, marketing, and follow-up, is that you need to do market data research. You need to go in. You need to figure out what your average price is. You need to figure out your days on market. You need to figure out your turnover rates. You need to also look at if there's a dominant agent or team in a specific area so you know where to spend your time and money. Because if you like the upper end, but the upper end isn't selling, you're going to do a lot of marketing and not get a lot of return. Go into an area where homes are selling and try to find one where there's not a completely dominant agent that gets everything. That'll dramatically increase your sales volume and help you see success sooner than later.
How have you done that? How did you do that market research? Did you all do that yourself? Did you outsource that?
No, I do it myself. I was taught by Terry and Chris. Those two are the masters at numbers. Basically, if you want to look at your turnover rate, which basically means how many homes in your area sell every year on a percentage. So you take the total number of homes and divide it by or into the number of sales will give you a percentage. So if you have, here's an example. In Alamo, we have 5,208 single-family homes. Well, we had 152 sales. So I took 152 divided by 5,208, and I got a 2.9% turnover rate. Nationally speaking, 2.9 is pretty darn good. You know, we are three different marketplaces we're working into. We have a 2.9, a 4.2, a 3.4, and a 3.9% turns. Those are good. Those are acceptable. You want to work in those areas. If you have a higher than a 3%, God bless you, you are in a very good marketplace. I've seen everything from a 1%, less than 1%, to a 12% turnover rates. But on average, you should be between the 3 to 5%.
And that'll help you target an area. Do you all do geographic farming?
Yeah. Chris?
Yeah, absolutely. We don't limit ourselves to getting pigeonholed by other realtors in the marketplace and being designated as one particular area because it makes it difficult to go outside that particular area. So they want to pigeonhole us as a Westside Alamo. We don't want to do that. We want to end up being broader than that. But at the same time, you definitely have a military, you know, base that we, you know, call home base and then work out from there. So internally, we definitely have a structure built for strategically going after Alamo and then the outlying areas. But, you know, outwardly, in terms of advertising and everything that anybody else would see, we don't want to give that impression because we still want to be able to get a phone call from one of the outlying areas and go help and service them as well.
Let's move into your sellers. How many listings do you currently have?
Well, we keep selling them, so that's a difficult question to answer.
Yeah, in terms of active inventory, it's really not. It doesn't sound that dramatic. It's not that much, but you know, currently we have five pendings. So yeah, current inventory. As we were talking about earlier with the days on market shrinking down, the last Westside Alamo listing that we did, we ended up putting it up on Thursday Brokers Tour, and we were sold by Monday afternoon, or pending by Monday afternoon. So we are ended up selling them very quickly. So our inventory is rotating very quickly right now in terms of holding a lot of listings. We really don't have a number of listings currently on the board, as we say.
Because something that we use in our marketing is the fact that we don't just list homes, we sell homes. And that's one of the biggest things that we continually try to do. You know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I got really nervous. So we literally sold all of our listings. We just crushed it in May and then rebuilt in June, and now we're crushing it in July. And so, you know, on some of our best months where our carry rate is about 12 listings, Chris and I got so close a couple of years ago to getting 22 listings on the board, but then we sold a bunch of them. And our price point, given the fact that we're at the, roughly, on average to date, our average sales price in all in our county is $706,000. In our market area, we're in the $800,000 to $1 million range for average sales price. Actually, $1,039,000 is actually our average sales price to date. So in that range, we don't need to do high volume. We just need to do high quality of work, and we'll still get a very, very, very good return on our investment for time and energy.
Why would a seller hire you? What is your competitive advantage?
Well, we're family-based. We have a picture of three guys. I'm not sure if your listeners will see our image or not, but that image of us in the three of us in the blue shirts, it is our single largest attraction for people to want to work with us, on top of the fact that we are very good at what we do and we treat people with respect and honor and, get back to them and all that good stuff. People like family. Our image probably wouldn't work in Beverly Hills, but it works well here because this is a family-based community. Well, Terry, you started this whole team. Fill us in a little bit about why you wanted to bring us in on this whole thing and build a family team.
I think you're right, Greg. I think people look at us as a family-based team. We would get comments, well, how come you don't have a woman on the team? And the moment that we introduced Greg and Chris, and, Chris is legally not my son. He's got a great dad already, but he looks very similar. And so you get the boys with you. And no objection ever came again. As soon as they felt like they were dealing with a family-based operation, it was like night and day. We really didn't plan it that way, but that's how it happened. It was a very good thing for us. We have our compelling ability is that there's lots of good agents out there, but there's only one market maker in Alamo, and that's our team. We make a market when there is no market, and we start to show how many homes that we've sold that have been on or off the market, and that just becomes a compelling story. And oh, by the way, here's a list of some of the buyers that we have that are standing by ready to buy a home that we'll expose your home to as soon as we have your permission to go ahead and do that. And so you go into a presentation, and Chris and Greg have really gotten very, very good. When they're talking about scripting, everything in the whole entire presentation is scripted. From the time they walk in to the questions that they ask in the middle and the end. And so they're closing the entire way through. And so that you're not broadsided with, well, I want to think about it at the end, or I have my cousin that's going to buy a house for me and I'm going to give him a special deal. We don't get those kinds of objections because we ask those up front. On a scale of 1 to 3, 1 being you really would like to know the value of your house, but number 2, you have a friend that's already going to sell it for you for a heavy discount, or you've got a sister that's going to do it, or 3, hey, whatever the value you come up with, that's the value that I'm going to list with you today. Where would you rank yourself right now? By using the 1, 2, 3, which is a proprietary thing that we developed, it really makes a big difference. You really get people right on the spot to give a definitive answer where they are mentally. And, does this seem right? Does this seem right? Does this seem right? Well, if it seems right, let's move forward then. Bam, you've closed. but it's all assumptive all the way through. Now, do we make mistakes on it? Yes. But we're getting up to bat so many more times now that even though we're not getting every single listing, the ones that we get are the ones that we really want, and the percentages are moving back up to that 75 to 85% that we would get before. So practice, practice, practice. Get the script down. Practice in front of the mirror again. Learn from what you made the mistakes on, but also concentrate on the things that made you successful. Stay with the basics. Go back in there. Study it.
Your listing presentation, you said it's structured, it's scripted. Is it in a booklet? Are you doing it on a computer? How are you formatting it so that you stay on script?
That's a great question. We are actually in the process of switching to an iPad presentation. It's been on a binder, nice binder format with, plastic sleeve inserts, and that we've been doing that for years, and we are moving towards getting it done on an iPad. So that's been a fun challenge. It's been fun to purchase an iPad and mess around. We're PC-based in the office, so it's a little bit different to jump to the Mac and start playing around with it. But we've had some agents that have their presentations already on the iPad that they've flipped us and sent us their versions, different marketplace, though, so it was a lot of marketing that was totally, totally different than ours, so we're having to kind of start from scratch and build it. So, yeah, we're right in the process of kind of changing it from. The nice thing about the booklet, though, I got to tell you, is the ability to instantly speed up, slow down much, much quicker than I think even the iPad would allow. And after knowing where things are located within that binder, you can quickly go to different sections. And if you're feeling like it's just time to close and get moving on, then you just, flip to the back. And, as a friend said one time, press hard, there's three copies. So you just go right for the close. So we're still going to have that booklet. We're going to still have that ability. If it's a, non-techie, older generation, we might end up still just pulling out the old binder and going that route.
How long is your typical listing presentation?
So we do a first-time appointment for the CMA. We definitely like to have a two-appointment presentation where we go for the first time, see the home, have them show us around, what did you do to your home, et cetera, find out if there's competition, and then end up building the presentation for the second go-around and the actual listing. If we can get them into our office, we've got a very, very nice broker office, and then we have a private office within that broker office itself, nice conference rooms, show them our office, but at the same time, and try to have the buzz of the actual team members going at the time that people come in, and then take them to a nice conference room and do the presentation there. That's the ultimate goal, and try to be the last presenter if we can as well. So, but then again, we've also been first presenter and, had the pleasure of calling the other agents to cancel their appointments. So, it's one of those things that we take it, the appointment as it comes for that second go around. And try to wow them with that. Overall time, first time CMA there, it's usually about 45 minutes to an hour. Really trying to make that connection with them. And then the second time, the presentation for the listing is roughly about the same, really. I've had them be as long as 3 hours. I just ended up doing one, and both husband and wife and myself as I said earlier, had the gift of gab, and it literally was about 3 hours that we were kind of hanging out. Really nice people, knew a lot of mutual people, and next thing I know is leaving, and it was 3 hours later. So we got the listing as well. So and was that the ultimate kickover? I don't know, but at the end of the day, that's who I was. I wasn't forcing myself to just absolutely, I wasn't dying sitting there talking to them. I was enjoying myself, and I think that they felt that and saw that, and they picked the person that they really felt like they wouldn't have a hard time picking up the phone and calling me. So yeah, it really making a connection with the people is the ultimate. That we want, and this is part of our scripting within the listing presentation, is we want the people that we do business with to feel as though they are a part of the team and we're all a team in selling your home together. That is why we've developed this team approach to doing this. We've explained earlier on in the presentation that we use the doctor script. is when you end up going in to see your doctor, you're not checked in by the doctor, you're checked in by the receptionist. And then you might go into the office or into the actual room and you might get blood pressure and some things checked by a nurse practitioner. And then ultimately you might end up seeing the doctor that day, or then again, maybe that day you don't see the doctor. And then if you really, really had something going on, you might end up having to see a specialist or a surgeon or something as well. So we've developed the team approach to be, we want you to feel as though you can talk to any of the team members, but at the same time, everybody has a job and a job description that they're really, really good at. And by all means, here's my cell phone number. That's usually when I end up giving my cell phone number. You can call me for anything, but at the same time, you know, if it's going to be brochures or some other things, there might be a team member that helps you with that as well. So just explaining all the way through, but assumptive closing and using words that are already in working with them. So you're literally in your scripting is, well, you know, when we get going or when we do this together, when we put up the sign, when we, that's all built into the way that you talk within the scripting of the listening presentation. You're already working for them and they are already a team member on the team.
Do you all send out a pre-listing package?
We have a trifold. We haven't used it in a while. We were doing the trifold for a while, and frankly, it seems like a lot of our marketing and other things that we do were just getting in the hands of people, that other agents that we'd really prefer not to. So we started to limit the amount of material that we do drop off and give. We felt like we were just, people were really kind of not only using us for, quote unquote, the number. They were already had an agent picked and already had something in mind that they were going to do. They just needed justification for the number that they thought that it was going to be and that the other agent told them it was going to be. But it was Uncle Joe, so we better check and make sure Uncle Joe's number's right. And then we'd leave and we'd go, I'd look at each other and go, I don't think we're getting that one. And you could just feel it because they were literally trying to pick it apart all the way through the process, exactly how you're doing it. And next thing you know, you were right. You know, you got the email saying we're going to go somebody else, and you could kind of almost feel it, that they were just trying to justify their number and the process that the other person told them that they were going to go through. So we've limited the amount of material that we do end up dropping off and giving.
Is there a way that you prevent that problem, this problem of them just checking you out, looking at your numbers?
That's a good thing. So we've actually built that into the listing presentation, like Terry said, within the scripts are, you know, you end up at this particular point still with a binder, but you kind of open it and then you shut it again. And you say, you know, this may sound really funny, but we really do have things that we've worked years and years, lots of money, time, and effort that's gone into this presentation and what we do that's different than other agents. It's different than other teams out there. So before we kind of get started, I want to make sure that everybody's well aware, you know, I kind of joke about it, but at the same time, I'm really, really serious that we really don't want any of this stuff shared with other people in the process that we end up going. Is everybody cool with that? Okay, great. Okay, and then we're going to go ahead and get started. So now, rightly or wrongly, people are, you know, there's different character types, and some will end up, you know, they can go with the other people, and they're still going to try to turn around and remember what you just told them within that presentation. But at the same time, it might limit everything that we end up doing, getting, you know, presented or shared with somebody else. It's going to be an honor system. We don't end up making them sign anything, but at the same time, I look them square in the eye and I turn around. And frankly, you really get a lot of feedback of who you're dealing with on the other side of that kitchen table too, because if you look over at them and you kind of do the old binder half open thing, you will get an eye. You're either going to get people look you straight in the eye or they're not going to look you straight in the eye. And right there alone, you're going to end up knowing where you stand already on doing this listing presentation. But not only that, is if you are going to do this with these people and help sell their home, you know, what you're dealing with. You're quickly evaluating what, you know, you're going to be dealing with within that listing itself.
Let's talk about the team. It's not just the three of you. Who else is on the team and what are they doing?
The team was originally, of course, founded by Terry. He was an agent for, 30? How long have you been an agent for now?
Since 1973. So that would make it, 39 years? Can that be possible?
Mm-hmm.
All I know is my picture when I first looked at it looked like it was in kindergarten. I just look like a silverback now, so.
Terry started it and then, you know, was a single proprietor for a number of years. Came out here, We talked about before, Chris joined them, and then I was allowed to join the team. We are now at a point where we have three other buyer's agents. We have Eileen, who's our office manager as well, who is invaluable. We have Caitlin, who is one of our new hires, who is a very intelligent young woman who actually just got married this last Saturday, who's going, when she gets back from her honeymoon, she's going to hit the ground running. We have Sue Winter, who's been on our team for a while, who's a buyer's agent. And we're looking to acquire another two agents who will be buyers working in specific geographical areas in a certain amount of homes, and that will be where they live. That is their entire reality and world when it comes to business. Currently we have a total of 9 folks on our team, 5 to 6 practicing licensed agents, and we would like to grow that to, you know, a 12 to 15 plus person licensed agent team within the next 3 years. But we need to do it specifically, you know, for certain ethnicities that we do not work, such as the Hispanic market. We are looking to acquire a fantastic Hispanic agent and Hispanic prospector, you know, as well as an Indian agent and an Indian prospector for specific areas that we know there's wonderful business and, you know, fantastic families that need help. But we just don't have those abilities yet. But that's how we're strategically looking at it, and then giving them roles and responsibilities, a certain amount of homes that they work, and then they're responsible for generating X, Y, and Z together. So that's kind of one of our growth goals.
Let's talk about this door knocker for a minute, because that's kind of unique. How did you find this person? How often do they door knock? How do you compensate them?
Nick is the son of one of my past clients who I, you know, worked with about 5 years ago. We do a couple of special events a year, one of which is a Cinco de Mayo party that we throw. This year, his father and Nick showed up. I hadn't seen them in years, had a great time talking with them. Nick had just graduated high school a few months ago. So before he goes to college for his freshman year, his parents wanted to get him in there, get a little bit more training under his belt, kind of open his eyes up to what the business world might look like and get a work ethic established. So we, after talking and, you know, figuring out logistics, we decided to bring him on for a couple of months between high school and college and get him out there. Majority of our door knockers have been either, you know, friends of friends or, you know, family members or past clients or something along those lines, which then we train and we give them a specific goals that they need to achieve. They agree to them. We compensate them through hourly wage that we pay them and then get them out the doors.
How many hours a day does the door knocker need to knock?
Minimum of 2 to 3 hours. Personally, I would like to have them out there like what I was doing and Chris was doing and what Terry was doing for years. I would like to have them out there between 4 to 5 hours a day. That does wear on you both physically and mentally. So I've come to the realization that today's day and age, youth are not going to put in the same amount of work that we did because they're just not. So what do I need to expect and ask for? I need to expect and ask for what is real. So 3 hours, I'm very pleased with that. As long as they can do, we know that in our marketplace, you can door knock 25 homes an hour. So if he can get in 50 to 70 doors a day, I'm very pleased with that.
How are you utilizing technology in your business? You've mentioned Real Agile. Tell me more about that.
Well, about 4 years ago, we found this company that specializes in predicting using mathematics to convert the randomness of a marketplace into a more systematic approach. We just couldn't work any more hours than we did in 2005. So we had to figure out a better way to spend more of our quality time with people that are more likely to do something than those just random. And so this company created a mathematical model for every particular market that they would go into. In the Alamo and Danville market, they're able to predict somewhere between 20 to 40% above the norm in any particular month, 2 to 3 months in advance. So it gives you just a half a step head start ahead of your competition or where you should be spending your time and money. As we've found out over the last 3 or 4 years, a good agent just needs a little bit of help to be significantly better, a half a step ahead of his competition. In fact, a friend of mine that's a chiropractor told me, he said, listen, the reason why he was hired for one of the professional soccer teams is because he was able to give them a half a stride and 100 yards. And I started to think about that. That's really what the difference is his ability to use technology as a friend rather than something that is a complainer. If you look at the age of most real estate agents, I think the mean age is close to 55 to 58 now. The fear factor of using technology has prevented many, many of them that are very good agents from employing it. We have taken another approach to it. We not only want to employ it, but we want it to be able to incubate it into a very, very highly productive tool that we could use to help our clients, and it's turned into that. So it doesn't make a difference if we're using predictive analytics or if we're using pay-per-click. We're always looking for the return on our investment. How much money did we put out? How much money did we get back? And how much time did we have to do something else that gave us a leverage? And we're always looking for that leveraging of our time, money, energy, and people.
It's some type of software that is trying to predict who's going to be the next mover?
It takes a couple hundred variables, pulls them down to about 22, 27 in some markets, and then it breaks it down to about 11. And then it ranks every single house from the most likely to the least likely house to sell. So there's a series of scores that are developed by that company called the MOVE score that they have a patent pending on it. So the ranking of scoring of properties throughout the United States. They do it all over the country. But I'll give you, for example, if you looked at the real test is in the results part. If you look at what direct mail is, what would you think a good direct mail response rate would be on a piece of mail? The national average runs around 0.3%. You know, we always figured if we sent out 10,000, we may get one brick back. On our postcard that we use from Real Agile, it produces 4.1% response rate. That means for every 100 cards, we get 4 people calling back asking for the value of their house, of which somewhere around 11 to 13% of those will also ask for a monthly update. So we have 550 people in our database, of which 13% of the people have asked for monthly updates. So you keep incubating and maturating that lead and inundating them with information, you have a higher probability being the chosen one. 70% of the selection process of an agent, they take the very first agent. Well, we just want to be the first agent that comes to the mind when they're thinking about making a move or that state of change that they're in. You want to be absolute first place in their mind in the most likely time that they would be in a state of change, and that's what that company specializes in. So it's been a very effective tool for us. Every 15th door generates a buy-sell lead for us. Our just-listed, just-sold cards, which we don't do as we did in the past, produces a 1.5% response rate every single time that we send it out. And we track every single one of them. They come back to our landing page website. We know that there's not Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. It's Bob and Mary Sue at 144 Muir Lane, Alamo, California. We know that that person, because they have a special code, that only that particular household can get into to know the value of their house. So it's been very effective. They use it all over the country. But for our team, it's been extremely beneficial because we're able to work very closely with the owners of that company.
Sounds like it could reduce the cost of a direct mail campaign. It sounded like the response rate was higher, which means effectively you could spend less money to generate more leads. Has that been true for you?
It has, and it's sort of interesting about the math. If you look at what the response rates are, it's about 8 to 9 times factor, which a direct mail response rate would be if you just mailed out to the blanket market. So we only mail to the top 10% of the marketplace. So every month we get a list, we mail to that list, and then they send out a postcard, and we measure every single month the activity based upon those cards. And that 4.1%, there's no doubt, because we can track every single one of them coming back in. You know, most agents, what's your response rate? Well, I get one every 2 or 3 years. They can't tell you because there's no way of tracking it. This is tracked. They have a code. They come back to the website to get the value. But what we've found is that when we go into the street, it's every 15th house, because we only talk to those who are on the top 10% of the list. So it makes a big difference. Completely different way of doing business. Now, is this the only prospecting method? No. It's just designed to take the new people that you don't know, the business that you want to create that you don't have a client in right now, to go out there and use this, because you don't have unlimited money like you had in 2005. We had to be much more conservative, much more focused, and rely upon mathematics to make a better decision for us just in random guessing.
If somebody wanted to look into this system, where would they find more information?
You can go to Real Agile, RealAgile.com, RealAgile.com, and they can find out information about it. And then some of the pages, they have testimonials of people. And it's not a quick fix, but it is a systematic approach that converts the random haphazard prospecting systems that most of us have into a systematic year-long program. If you stay in the program and you do the prospecting, you'll generate business. So it's very effective. Highly recommend it to you.
What drives you?
Well, Howard Brenton a couple of years ago asked me that very same question, and I had to think about it. And basically, it has nothing to do with money. What it is that there's 10 reasons why I do what I do personally. One of them is to keep good people away from bad brokers. My job in life is to keep good people from making or being influenced by someone that doesn't care about them. You know, after 39 years in the business, I can go back to the people that I've dealt with 40 years ago or 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and go to dinner with them, because I know that at that moment in time, I gave them the very best information that I could possibly give in anybody. And so my mental attitude is that my focus is I'm a servant in a non-servant world. And so it's, a lot of it is based back to our Bible-based thought processes that we do our business, and we have a Christian perspective on how we do business. And it's just the way that we operate. More than happy to give you a copy of that if you'd like to have a copy of it. And then from a motivational standpoint, one of the things that I learned a long time ago, happy are those who are dream dreams and are willing to pay the price for them to come true. There is nothing free. There is nothing. You have to expend energy, time, money, and energy to achieve any success. Nothing comes by randomness. You have to be focused. And I'm not judged by the number of times I failed, but the number of times I can succeed. And the number of times I can succeed are direct proportion to the number of times I can fail and keep trying. So, you know, you just start thinking about those things. They become so rote in your mind process. And you have to realize is that you can't save everybody. You can only save those who want to be saved. So you just have to have that kind of mental attitude towards people. And most people are doing the best they can with the information they have. Unfortunately, they haven't met you yet so that you can help them. That's where you have to come out. And then the final thing is that when I was growing up, there was a real thing called polio. And I always wanted to be the doctor that discovered polio because my neighbor next door had polio. And I saw what she had to go through. And I said to myself, if I had that same mental attitude when I go into business, that's what I want to do. So I want to save people from the bad stuff out there. And so I always, when I go out knocking on doors, it's always Dr. McDaniel going out to knock on doors to save people from bad people, the polio complex. So it's worked very well for me. You know, I don't get the kind of rejections that, and I never really did, because I always had this smile, and they used to have call me the cookie and milk face kid. Come on, Terry, come on in and have some milk and cookies with us, because I looked younger than their kids. I mean, I started when I was 23 years old. I mean, you know, to me, it's just a natural way of meeting people. Never be afraid to go introduce yourself. Hi, my name's Terry McDaniel. I'm with the McDaniel Callahan team. And then what first thing you do is tell me a little bit about your business. What are you doing? What do you see happening in the community? Just like Greg was talking about. So all this entire thing is all between 6 inches, your brain. And I can't overemphasize that enough, is that if you get down, you better have a team like I have I mean, these guys have kept me alive mentally so many times, and I'm hoping that I've kept them alive mentally many, many times. But without all three of us working together, the other two can pull the other person up. In this business, it's not about selling houses. It's about keeping your right mental attitude, because then you can help people if you have that attitude.
Greg, what drives you?
I had a woman I was dating a while back, and about a year ago, had three very distinct, blunt conversations with me, because at that point in my life, I was didn't really know which way I wanted to go. I was kind of going through like one of those, you know, quote-unquote midlife crises, you know, what am I going to do, woe is me. And she told me point blank, Greg, you don't make enough money for me. And when you hear that, my personality, I took that as a personal challenge to become the best that I can possibly be so I never hear those words again come out of anyone's mouth. And I'm able to take my success and I'm able to help other people. So what drives me is to be able to change my destiny, change my stars, work, and then be able to help other folks, both agents and homeowners, be able to reap the benefits from my hard work and building the team the right way. I've been in real estate since I was in high school, essentially holding open houses and folding the newsletters that would go out and everything else. And I found that I really do love this business, and that is what keeps me going on a daily basis. I always continually want to see how much better I can get myself to become. Can I push my limits to the point where I exceed all expectations and that I blow my numbers out of the door, that I can be better than what I expected myself to be? And there's absolutely no way to do that as a single person. You have to do that with a team. I can tell you right now that I have the best supportive group of guys and gals ever, and I am so thankful that I was able to join this team, and I could not do it without them. But that truly what drives me is, one, helping people get to the next stage of their life, no matter what it is, and two, building and becoming the best, strongest, fastest, smartest team in the industry in the shortest amount of time, and I love the challenge.
Chris, what drives you?
When Greg had taken a little bit of a hiatus, they were really getting another business up and running, and he ended up coming back, and when he came back on the team, it was full force, and as Terry mentioned prior, and you've probably gathered through the interview, is prospecting is Greg's thing. And he challenges others around him just by leading with the example and doing what he's doing in hitting the doors, getting on the phone, doing it. So he, you know, re-brought me up to a level of prospecting that I needed to be at. And it was the challenge of, I had more than enough potential phone calls to make in that system. There was so many people within there that needed to get a phone call, and it just needed that kick in the rear to say, you know what, I'm doing it over here, and I'm doing cold calls. Yours, you actually know those people, or you met them sometime in the past. So, you know, pick up the phone and start calling them. And just as the door is the first one's the toughest, and oh my gosh, I haven't talked to them in like a year. How can I make that phone call? You know what? Figure out something to say and just get on the phone. And if they're not nice to you or something like that, move on. Terry's got a little sticky note that's been on his computer forever, and all it says is next. Dot, dot, dot. That's it. All it says, next. So you really got to turn around and end up having that ability to kind of shrug it off, go to the next one. But, you know, going back to the original question, what really gets me going is I wake up, I try to be a godly man, I try to live as a great husband for my family, and I try to end up putting myself third. Do I succeed? No. Oftentimes I put myself in first position. But, you know, biblically speaking, that's what I try to live towards, is God, family, and then self. And I have a thing on the other side. The perfect week is on top of my phone, and the left side of me is my 2011 goals, and I rotate year by year, and it's broken out into religious, family, health, and career, and it gives me not only daily, but weekly, monthly, and yearly goals within those particular categories. And as we've said, I think the other guys have already said it, and I will too, is whatever we have, we'd love to share it with anybody. We can PDF stuff and email it out, so, you know, feel free to contact us. But I can't even remember where I ended up originally finding that thing, but I've probably been doing that for, oh gosh, you guys have probably seen that online thing for 10 years, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
So it really keeps me focused on, you know, categories of the way that I see, you know, life and living, and that's just really kind of gets you refocused. But I tell you what, prospecting wise, it was tough times, and right now we'll be shining light for others that are out there, and it's, you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. This will change, and we want to help as many people as we can get through that, and we help each other. There's that saying, team together, everyone achieves more. We all grasp that. We all believe that. And some days you're down. Some days you're on vacation. I got a vacation coming up. And sometimes you're the one that's got it. But you know what? It makes it nice when you can shrug off the entire weight for a while, because when you come back, you're recovered and you can carry a lot more weight to give somebody else a break.
Gentlemen, is there anything else that you would like to talk about that we didn't address?
I guess there's a couple of things just to do a quick recap. And this is the most important things, and this is what changed my life and changed my viewpoints and changed everything. And it's extremely simple, and if you follow this, you will succeed, and you're going to be one of only 3% of the entire United States that will do this. Write your goals down. Be specific with them. Come up with a game plan. I don't care if it's doing two deals a year. Figure out how you're going to do it. Put it on paper. Work your process. I will send you mine. I will send you everything and anything I have to walk you through. I have mine right in front of me. I have a five-year plan where I want to go with my 8x8 and 33 touch alone. Then I have our online. I have our door knocking. I have our mailing, other cards. And I have exactly how I want to break it down. It's realistic, and it's something that we can build to. So put that down. Also, write down your goals, personal and professional, like Chris was talking about. I want to know your 1 month, 3 month, 6 month, year, 2 year, 3 year, 5 year, and then goals. And I want photos associated with those for your dreams and goals. I have my cars that I want. I have my boats that I want. I have my house, and I have my dog. These are the things that I want. I have them in full color. They're on my wall. I see them. I can't help but look at them every day, because the power of visualization, you will achieve where you want to go. Also, work your marketplace. Identify the areas you're going to work in. Look at your turnover rates. Figure out where you are best going to fit to start or restart your business in the marketplaces that you're going to be in. If one area that you worked for a number of years has cooled down, switch your market. Change where you work. Forget where the sales are. Otherwise, you will not see success. Lastly, get a coach, guys and gals who are hearing this. Get a coach that works with you. We like a guy by the name of Bob Corcoran a lot. He's ranked one of the top 100 people in the industry. He's extremely powerful and very affordable. If that doesn't work for you, Mike Ferry, Tom Ferry, you know, any of these guys, read Dean Tracy's books. I mean, you can do anything you want, but find something that's going to keep you on target and on track mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. After that, practice your trade. Consistently and persistently practice your trade. Read your housing supply reviews. Read different statistical information so that when people ask you stuff, you don't sound like a bumbling idiot. You know the numbers, you stand firm on your numbers, and you move forward on your numbers.
Did we leave anything off the table that you want to talk about?
Mike, I think the thing that's most important is that it's mentally is to make sure that at the end of the day, when I'm done with my business, there won't be any doubt in my own personal heart that I gave 125%. And that just keeps bugging me to the point where I just want to keep working and working and working at my skill level, because I don't care if you're a young author or a young actor. When you get older, you realize that you have to stay in a state of curiosity, of learning your trade. Most people in our business, as some other people have in their businesses, they have 38 one-year experiences. I don't want to do that. I want to have a lifetime of experiences built upon those qualities that I think are most important, and to try to eliminate those qualities that are not important.
you know, one of the most important things that the guys were talking about is the ability to say no to a potential client. Because if you don't say no, you got to say yes to somebody else and vice versa. You only want to work with those who are most likely, but also the ones that you would like to work with. Yeah, well, I can't work with everybody that I like to in this marketplace. That's true. But your character, the kind of people that you work with, it rubs off on you. And you want to work with people that you can respect. And you don't have to do anything else except focus on the good things about working in their business. So that's my feelings on it. It's really been a pleasure.
Well, Terry, Greg, and Chris, you have a treasure chest full of wisdom, knowledge, and experiences. You are combining old techniques like door knocking with new technologies like predictive analytics to generate multiple increases in your success rates. Your strong character, curiosity, and determination are poised to take you to new heights. Your multi-generational approach is an inspiration to family-based businesses everywhere. Thank you again for being our top agent of the month.
You've been listening to the Mastermind Agent Interview of the Month Club, where top agents, rising agents, team members, and guests from across North America reveal their success secrets, strategies, and systems in up-close and personal interviews. You can find all the club interviews at www.mastermindagent.com.